Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Beis. Mem Beis, as we continue in Parakira, in Yanim of Bishul and the like, and as we get into it, as I mentioned, the end of today's Shia, we'll get into the beginning of Muksa discussions. Says the Gemara, we are on Mem Beis and Aleph, which is one Ha'ara. Yesterday we brought up two different pshatim of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Aleph Amid Aleph quoted a line which was not 100% clear what it meant. Hamechem Shepinahu, if one has a hot water urn that one emptied out or one removed from the flame. That's what was unclear. What does Pinahu mean? We emptied out the pot that was a Kli Rishon and we put something into that empty pot. Is that what Pinahu means? Or the second pshat was that no, it means pina, that you took it off the flame. You took it off the flame, and the issue is putting something into a Kli Rishon that has been removed from the fire, that is still burning hot. That is the two days that we had, Rav Ada Bar Masna versus Abaya. We discussed along the way the issue of mitzaref, the issue of when one has a burning hot metal kli, and then one puts it into or pours cold water on it, that could be a different malacha. Not of Bishul, but of Mitzaref. What is Mitzaref? That Rashi says is a type of Makabe Patish. When they finish processing, they finish making a metal cleave, what they did was, after rinsing it in hot water, they rinsed it in cold water in order to finish it off. Which, by the way, reminds us, not the same thing, but it reminds us of when we do Hagala, the Minhag, the Shulchan Aruch quotes, whenever we do Hagala, we have to kasher something. You have to kasher silverware that got treifed up. You have to kasher a pot. The Minhag is to rinse it in cold water after it has been kashered in boiling hot water. Why? So it might come from the same tzitab of idea. We're kind of renewing and making the pot again. So once we were magil it and we put it in hot water, so we rinse it in cold to remind us that this is a new stage of the pot. Could be that's where the Minhag came from. But what the Rishonim discuss here is that the Gemara said, in the first day, isn't this Mitzarev? So the Gemara said, it's Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds Rav Shimon Miskavin is Mutter. Then the second day says, what about Mitzarev? Why is it Aser? Because it's like Rabbi Yehuda. Different day is what the case was. The question, though, was, you know, what do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Shimon? Isn't this psik resha? This is not davar sheina miskavein. Remember the principles. What's going to come up today? Davar sheina miskavein is where I do act A, which might or might not cause result B. That's davar sheina miskavein. We had it twice already. We had it daf chaf beis. We had it earlier where the halacha grip shivin begreira. I drag a bench. I'm not sure whether it's going to make a hole in the floor, and therefore that is a davar sheina miskavein that we paskin mutter, which is a huge chiddush. Because I might have said Savi Daraisa Lachumra, but that's the Chiddush of Reb Shimon, because of the principle of Meleches Machsheves, that on Shabbos you have to do thought out, professional, artisan type of work, based on the Pasuk in Parshas Vayakel. So that's why Reb Shimon says Davar Shina Miskavein is Mutter. While Reb Yehuda says, no, it's Aser. If it might happen, that's good enough, and therefore it is going to be Aser. But this case is Psik Reisha, isn't it? Psik Reisha means it's Vada going to happen. Right, as the Gemara Chazal used the case later on. If I go cut off the head of a chicken because I want to give the head of the chicken to my child to play with, what? It's not. I don't have in mind to kill the animal. No, I don't have that in mind. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen. So therefore, psik resha v'lo yamu says that the chicken's not going to die. So that's vaday. So, and we paskim psik resha is chayiv daraisa. Right. Even if I don't have kavana for it, if I know for sure it's going to happen. So what about this case? If you pour the cold water onto the hot water, that's not davar shina miskavein where there's a machlokas between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. That's psik resha, where it's vada going to happen, and even Reb Shimon agrees that psik resha is going to be chayiv. So that is the question, how do you understand this Gemara? So most of the Chachmei Sfarad give examples how somehow it is not psik resha. If you look in the Ritva says here on Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis, maybe it's a case for hacha lo avi psik resha v'lo yamus de dilma lo mitzarif kigon shahakli mitzuraf harbe mitzchilaso. The kli was already mitzuraf, meaning you've already gone through the process, and you're not sure whether this is going to be whether it's done already or not. It was already rinsed off with cold water. It was already processed and finished. So you're not sure. Well, you didn't know how hot it already has been heated, and then, you know, the cold water is going to affect it. Either way, the Ritva says something happened already, and you're not sure whether tzirif is still needed. That's why it's a psik resha. That's the Ritva's suggestion. So this Ritva is crucial for a big sugya m'sik reisha. There is a major machlokas between the Taz and Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Taz is Mekel, and that is Rabbi Kiva Eger and Yaradeya in Simon Pei Zayin, in a totally different context, have the following machlokas. M'sik reisha, as we said, is where I for sure it's going to happen. What happens if I don't know if it's going to happen? It's because my lack of knowledge. It's not like where I'm going to drag the bench and I'm not sure whether it's going to make a hole or not. That's called a psik reisha lahaba, which is most psik reishas. I'm not sure if it's going to happen or not because it's semi-soft ground, it's kind of a heavy bench, I'm not sure. So that's called a psik reisha, you're not sure what is going to happen. But what if you have a suffix about something what's called psik reisha l'sha'avar, right? I don't know if the fridge light was left on or not. So, it's a Darshei Shina Miskavein, because I don't know if it's going to happen. Is that a Darshei Shina Miskavein? Because I don't know whether it was left on or not. No, if I knew the reality, if I knew whether it was left on or not, then my opening it would be a Psik Reisha. It would be Vadai. Is that called Darshei Shina Miskavein, or is that called Psik Reisha? The case that the Taz discusses, and the Ramah, is, I have a little box, and I want to close my box, and there might be little tiny flies in the box. Do I have to make myself crazy to check out that there are no bugs in the box, so when I close the box, I won't be violating the Isser of Tzeda, the Isser of trapping? Do I have to make myself crazy to make sure there are no little fleas in there? Or do I say, no, don't worry about it. If you're not sure, it's a Darshei Shina Miskavein. Even if there's a fly in there, it's okay, you don't mean to trap it. The Taz is Mekel. The Taz says, that's called a Darshei Shina Miskavein, and we could be Mekel in that case. The Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no way. Which Rabbi Kiva Eger? You can look in Hilchos Shabbos. It's not there. Rabbi Kiva Eger is in Yaradeya, in Simon Pei Zayin, where he discusses the case where somebody is going on in an inn, and somebody is traveling, and there is a communal oven. So you go to an inn in the olden days, communal oven, and the Jew brings his food, and the non-Jew has his food, and they're cooking it right next to each other on the pot. Here it is. Says the Ramah, Yesh Omrim, this is in Pei Zayin Vav, the Ramah Paskins, Da Asr Lachdos Ha'esh Tachas Kedei Resh Lovik Ochavim. What happens if I go and I'm going to put my food, my kosher food, in a pot on the fire, and the non-Jew has his on the fire next to mine, and I'm making sure there's no splashing, so fine, there's no treif getting in there. Says the Ramah, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because when I stoke the flames under my pot, that means I'm stoking the flames under his pot too, and I'm cooking Basar V'Chalav. Right? Who knows what's in his pot? Right, so I might be violating the Isra of Bishul Basar B'Chalav. Lefi Sheim Vashlim Bahem Pamim Chalav Pamim Basar V'Machad Atachas Kedir Shalem Baladi Bishul Basar B'Chalav. That's the Ramah. Ask Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's a Darshei Shina Miskavein. Well, you have no idea what's in this pot. It looks like meat. You don't know if he cooked milk in it this morning. You have no idea. Darshei Shina Miskavein, Rabbi Kiva Eger. What are we so machmir about? What are we so worried about? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, no. That's what's called Psik Reisha L'Sha'avar. That's called, you just don't know. It's my chisaron in yediyah. But if I would know what happened in the past 24 hours of this pot, then it would be a psik reisha. Wouldn't be a Darshei Shina Miskavein. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, if it's a psik reisha l'sha'avar, so we don't say that is called Darshei Shina Miskavein. We say that is called a psik reisha. So that is a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva Eger right here. It's a long Rabbi Kiva Eger. He talks about it here and he quotes the, Taz, Achin Ladasa Taz, Shekasa, Binoal Teva, Vesavim Mishuvim Demutter, Imkein Hachas. So he talks about it. He says, I think that the Ramah, it's a Machlokas Ramah in the Taz then. Rabbi Kiva Eger is just explaining the Ramah. But why am I pointing this here? Because this Ritva on our Gemara is a riot to the Taz. Right? That's what the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Ritva as a riot to the Taz. Because what does the Ritva say? What's our case of Mitzaref? It's Psik Reisha. It's not a Darshei Shina Miskavein. Oh, the Ritva says, it was Mitzuref. You just don't know how Mitzuref it was. That's a Psik Reisha L'Sha'avar. Says the Bir Halacha, this Ritva in our Gemara is a riot to the Taz. Riot to the Taz. Generally, we assume L'Chumra, L'Maisa. We assume L'Chumra, meaning, in the refrigerator case. We do not, if somebody's not sure if they turned off the light in the fridge or not, so then we assume if you don't know, you probably left it. Probably didn't turn it off. Right? You have to be a certain type of personality not to, I don't know, usually the first thing that people do when they move into houses is take the light out of the fridge. right? So it takes a very special type of person that on their Shabbos checklist is turn the light off. That takes a very special person. But if somebody has that in their blood, in their genes, so then wonderful. You know, I guess maybe it depends how old the kids are as well, in terms of you know, what stage of life one's at. But either way, if somebody goes into an apartment that you don't know, right? In all these cases, we assume that's a sick ratio that I just don't know about. Nadi Dover Shina Miskavi. Okay. Oh, one other aura I wanted to mention. Somebody showed me yesterday out of the blue, and Siyata Deshmai, it has to do with yesterday's Gemara. So I apologize I didn't mention this yesterday, but it's right here. There's a tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer about yesterday's Gemara. It says in Chelek Yud Similamed Beis. It's a Shabbos Shuvah material. But yesterday we had a discussion, it comes up a few places in Shas, where Reb Zeira wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he was hiding out from Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda didn't want him to go. He was worried that he would make a Zeira against him. So the Tzitz Eliezer discusses, what was he so nervous about? He held of his opinion. He held of his opinion. So Rav Yehuda held the over Basay. So Tzitz Eliezer says, he connects our Gemara to the Gemara in Maseches Brachas, where the Gemara says that Reb Zeira did not make Aliyah until he dreamed about barley. Remember in the ninth paragraph of Maseches Brachas, all the dreams. So the Gemara there says, on Daf Nun Zayin, Reb Zeira lo solak mi bavel Eretz Yisrael ad sheros seorim bachalom, shehu simin shesaru avonosav. Seorim is like from the word saru, saru remove, saru avonosav. So that's what he waited for. He didn't make a why. So that's why he said that's why he was waiting. That's why he was nervous, even though he wanted to go. He knew Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but his Rebbe said not to, because he wasn't sure. What's the issue? Says that Tzitz Eliezer, there are two aliyahs. There's physical aliyah, and there is what you have to do before and after you get there. Elozos de Tricha Madas, She'eret Yisrael Hirak Bibachinas Yoav Chachma Lachakimin, Ubali Hisarusa de la Tata, Loba Hisarusa de la Eila. Eretz Yisrael is the place to be and the place to go and the place to get special siyata d'shmaya. But it's there for us, but we have to partake of it. Umilo hatetshuka v'haratzom lehi taher. Oz, z'chusa d'Eretz Yisrael misayas lo baharbe. Uposachas lo pesach epischo shel ulam liikanis al kodesh pnima. Begeder shel v'skadishtem v'yisem kedoshim. And that's why Reb Zeira waited. He waited to see this. He always wanted to go, but he didn't know. You know, I'm not sure if I'm gonna, you know, my Rav says that this Torah center's here in Eretz Yisrael, so once he dreamed about barley, then that was it. Sarav Onosav, I think that right now I'm ready, like Shlomo Zalman's grandfather. Shlomo Zalman's grandfather fasted for 3 years, every Monday and Thursday, before he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to be ready for the holiness. Right, this Chas V'Shalom should be used as an excuse. I'm not ready for the holiness. I'm not ready. Chas V'Shalom. Chas V'Shalom. We have to jump in. You jump in and you get used to the water. Right, that's what he says. That Tzitz Eliezer says. That's why also. Shalom Matzin, he says, Yishalachin lo ala Reb Zeira lo bebavle Eretz Yisrael, asher asa orim. Ma shalom Matzinu l'shum echad meitanam o me'amoraim, shechiku lazeh sheyiru lehem bachalom. We never saw anybody. That's why he didn't go. He said because he wanted to make sure that he was on the he was going, but he wanted to make sure that he was ready to get the full experience of the Isarusa de la Ela after having done the Isarusa de la Tata. Okay, this whole piece here is about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of one about the Histavkus Eretz Yisrael, and one about the Kapara element, which is the second element. Anyway, Yud Lamed Beis, right here. Okay? So, Beit Hashem, we don't have to wait for the third cycle that we're having this Shiurim. We had it, it's within 24 hours. So it's not, it's still Nosin Tam L'Shevach. Okay. Says the Gemara now. Top line on Membeis Amad Aleph. Top line. L'meimra, that was all considered, I'm in Bez, I'm in Aleph, I'm not sure. Okay. L'meimra on the top, the Shmuel Krib, Shimon Sevir Lei. Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, meaning we just said the second shot that we gave in the Mishnah, Shmuel was the one that held Mutter in the Shir Litzari. If he holds like Rabbi Shimon, the Dover Shinim is Kaivin is Mutter, but for Amar Shmuel. Doesn't Shmuel say, Mechabin Gacheles Shel Mateches Bereshus HaRabim? Shmuel says that one can extinguish a hot coal that one finds in the street. You find a hot coal in the street, you can extinguish it, especially a Zukubo Rabim. You don't want people to get hurt. You find this dangerous item in the street, you could put it out. Isn't Kibui one of the Avos Malachos? So how could you extinguish? You're allowed to violate Isuri D'Oraisa to prevent people from getting hurt. So Rashi says, no, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Because metal doesn't burn. It's not like metal's on fire. Metal is burning hot. But when you extinguish metal, when you pour cold water, let's say, onto a burning hot piece of metal, that's kibui d'rabanan. That's nirik a kibui. So that you're allowed to do. You're allowed to violate an issa d'rabanan in order to prevent people from getting damaged. Avaloga chelashalates. But you cannot do that to a burning hot piece of wood, because that's real kibui d'oraisa. And unless it's sakanas nefashas, as we'll talk about soon, you can't violate isuri d'oraisa. That is the shita of Shmuel. So again, only because it's d'rabanan, not because it's d'oraisa. But one second, v'isakadai lechsav alak Reb Shimon. But if Shmuel really holds like Reb Shimon, afilo shaleis nami. If he holds like Reb Shimon, which Reb Shimon? Right? Without focusing, the Gemara has just moved to another machlokas. The Reb Shimon, there's another machlokas between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda about malacha shein esricha legufa that we've had already twice in the Masechta. About if I do a malacha, which machlokas Rashi Tosfos, according to Tosfos, I do a malacha for a different purpose than it was done in the Mishkan. Right? So that's called a malacha shein esricha legufa. Reb Shimon holds you are potter, asud rabbanan only. Reb Yehuda holds you're chayev there. Rashi holds, remember Rashi in a few places already, malacha shein esricha legufa is defined as you are just doing something preventative. You'd rather not be in this situation, carrying a dead body out of the house. You don't want the dead body out there. You just don't want it here. You want to prevent. You wish you didn't have to do this. Killing a snake on Shabbos so it doesn't bite you. That's a malacha shein esricha legufa. You are not killing it in order to use it. You're killing it to prevent it from doing damage. So if Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon, so here, why are you putting out the wood? So people don't get damaged. So that's a malacha shein esricha legufa. Reb Shimon holds patur. So what do you mean? How can you say Reb Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon? So here we would matter even putting out a piece of wood. Question mark. So what do you see? The Gemara just compared. What's the Havamina? That if you hold like Reb Shimon in one machlokas, you should hold like Reb Shimon in the other machlokas. Very important Havamina. The Gemara assuming that there's a connection between the two machlokos, which the Gemara does not link, except right here. The Gemara links them right here. If you hold like Reb Shimon by Davar Shein Miskavein, you should hold like Reb Shimon by Malacha Shein Esricha Legufa. What's the connection? The connection seems to be Pashtus, is they both are a function of Malechas Machshaves. Malechas Machshaves, the high standard of work on Shabbos, that teaches us many different principles. Davar Shein Miskavein, Malacha Shein Esricha Legufa, Misasik, Makalkel, Shinui, Grama. Many principles flow lechora from Malachas Machshaves. So that's Gemara's Havamina here. If you hold like the principle of Malachas Machshaves, so shouldn't you go across the board and be consistent? Answers the Gemara, or even in the Havamina, still in the Havamina, that's what. Actually, let's see Tosfos, and then we'll see the Ritva. I think Tosfos here discusses it. Tosfos here discusses the Havamina, third line of Tosfos on top, the Yesh Lomar. Or even do the question of Tosfos, Yim Tomar. Umay Sekad Ayat of the Maksha. Vechim Yishum, the Sarvash Shmolker, Shim, and Bein, and Meskavein, Yisvar Kamosa, Balachaj, and Zrichal Gufa. Should you say they're connected? So Tosfos answers yes. The Yesh Lomar, the Sakad Ayat of the Maksha, Devadai Haba Hatalia. Must be there. They're connected to each other. And the Ritva adds in the line that I just mentioned. The Ritva right here, when he quotes this, he says, "Afitafilu hachi b'chad time a shaychon mishum delohavi maleches machsheves ubishteyen ika davar shehu below kavana." You're missing something in both cases. The kivan shekain havisalke daitach the kiva dahasam oser v'dahacha right oser v'asikna v'chulu. And he continues. The Malachas Machshaves. That's the link. What's the Gemara's answer? They're not connected. But that's the important Havamina and Maskana. Says the Gemara is in the answer. No, you can be mechalik between the two. Right? They're not, even if you hold of the principle of Malachas Machshaves Legufa, you could still have the chilik between these two principles. Finishing up for a minute, and then and there's a lot to talk about. Amar Avina, Hilkach. Kotz Brishus HaRabim, because this is true, if somebody sees a thorn in Brishus HaRabim, so one is allowed to violate a Durabanan to get rid of. A thorn is an example of a dangerous item. Let's say there's a broken piece of glass in the street. So Malicho, and if there's a place where there's no Erev. So what do? So if you carry it straight, right, so isn't that would be a Daraisa. So Malicho Pachas Lachas B'Dalat Amas, you're allowed to carry it baby steps within Dalat Amas, U'Bekarmelis Afilu Tuva, and in a Karmelis, which is a Durabanan Rishus anyway, so then you're allowed to just carry it straight, because either way, it would be violating an Isser Dirabanan. Dirabanan. So that is the, that's what we learned. You're allowed to violate innocent Dirabanan to prevent a nezek of the Rabbim. If you look in the Ramah, go step by step. The Ramah says in Simon Shin Ches, Sif Yud, Ve'im Nishbru B'machom She'ichol Mahazik, if there is a broken piece of glass, that is in a place where it could damage people. Kegon klei zchuchis shenishbru al shulchan. Right, it's happened. Let's say in your kitchen, somebody breaks something on Shabbos. There's glass all over the floor. Muksa, now how to use it? The answer is no. You let him move it. Mutter v'talta v'shvarim kedei lefanosan shelo yusku b'hem. It's mutter to move it because somebody's going to get damaged. That is a drop on a muksa, which we allow during if there is danger. If it's a danger. It's only Lamaisa if you didn't have a chance to do it before Shabbos. Something breaks 2 hours before Shabbos. Yeah, I'll clean it on Shabbos. I'm busy right now. No, you have to try to do it before Shabbos because that's when you have the heter. If you look in the Ran, there's an important line in the Ran right here on Daf Yutesima base. Ume hashaminan disharinan shvus drabanan b'makam shehezek harabin matsui. You're allowed to violate an issa drabanan b'makam Hezek Rabin. Vaharav Bal Halachos Hitir Od Afilu Isser de Oraisa. Wow. The Bahag allowed violating an Isser de Oraisa to prevent Hezek of Rabin. Shehuz Al Kasav, Tahadim Afagin and Begachel Shalais like a Shalma Teches, Vishindim Shalais, Kamadul Kabia is Besumka Vachazule. He explains, the Bahalachos. He quotes his Bahag. That even a daraisa, and he says, "V'divrei teimahem hechyatu Shmuel malacha daraisa shelo b'makom sakanas nefashis." I don't understand it. Only bikuach nefesh. Ela shenire shaharav sover. Listen to this line. But it seems like the Bahag holds the nizka derabim kisakanas nefashis chashivlan. Public danger, even not life threatening, has the status of life threatening for an individual person. Personal sakanas nefashis equals major danger for the rabbim. That's the Bahag Shita. Ulidvarav, Hadamaskinan Hilka, Kotz Bershus Arabim, Malika Pachas Pachas Bidal Aramis. That's why you can't just carry straight the item. Why? Because Kamad Eshel Shanuyim Shanina. If you have a choice, you should do the Drapan instead of the Daraisa. But you don't have a choice. It's an amazing Bahag. I'm not saying we paskin that way, but the Bahag says, Nizke Rabim has the status of Sakanas Yachin. It could be just as a practical level, because when you're dealing with a Rabim, maybe a Nezek Rabim could easily turn into Sakanas Nefashis. Right? How do you know it's just going to be Nezek? Right? For a private person, you could say, okay, it's just Nezek. But maybe it's just a practical measure that it's probably going to turn into Sakana. Or maybe it's a halachic category. Nezek Rabim is the status of Sakanas Nefashis. Fascinating Bahag, quoted right here in the Ran. Good. One other Ha'ara, and that is the Me'iri. The Me'iri here discusses why is it in our Gemara it says that you are allowed to violate this mechabin gachela shel mateches brishus arabim shulshli zukav arabim. Right, you're allowed to violate. You're allowed to be mechabe the kol mateches. Ask the Meiri. Heichnis bayer besugyaseinu shemutur lasos malacha sheinsrichal gufa kadei shelo yizukav arabim. Vayi aser lachabos esaner bekibui shu malacha sheinsrichal gufa b'shul chol shein bo sakana. We had back in the second parak, if you remember, that you're not allowed, according to, let's say, Rabbi Yehuda, that whole mishnah over there, extinguishing a candle for a cholat, remember those cases, or for a listim, whatever the case may be, it seems to be very chomer extinguishing. And here, our Gemara seems to say you're allowed to extinguish for a hezeka derabim, violating nissa derabanan. So the Meiri, again, without getting into his question in more detail, the Meiri has the Yesod Gadol here, which is quoted lahalacha by the Mishnah Berurah. And that is, even though we paskin that you could violate derabbanans in certain circumstances, kavod habrios, hezekah derabim, v'chulu, one has to realize that malacha shein esricha legufa is a more chomer iser derabbanan than other iser derabbanans. Iser derabbanans of doing something b'shinui or others, here gachelo shel mateches, okay, there are derabbanans, but a malacha shein esricha legufa, meaning doing a malacha daraisa, but just for a different purpose, malacha shein esricha legufa, that is a more, it's still derabbanan. We pass like Reb Shimon, but it's a more chomer issa derabbanan, right? And that's why is it more chomer? Number one, Rabbi Yehuda says chayiv daraisa, and the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, says this in Simon Reish Ayin Ches. He says this. One has to be very careful even though we paskin, if you remember, there's four types of cholim. For a chole she'ein bo sakana, second category down, you're allowed to violate a drabanan. A Jew is allowed to do a drabanan. You're allowed to take medicine. But the Mishnah Berurah says, the Berlacha says, there's a machlokas achronim whether you can do a malachas nesuich legufa for a chola she'ein bo sakana. Because that is a more chamor category of derabanan. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says right here. So in Reish Ayin Ches, the kasu achronim, b'shul chola she'ein bo sakana, asur l'chavos l'kuli alma. Afil ha'poskim, iser kibia chamor mishari suri derabanan. Given she'ish bo tzad chiyav l'kuli alma. Right, so that is the an important ha'ara, that malach shesrich legufas, even though we pass in asa drabanan, it's a more chomer category than other Yisrael drabanans. You can look in the Shmat Avraham, like the Abraham Sefer, on this Simon Rishai and Ches, he has pages. He has 10 pages, all about what one is allowed to do, for a chol hashem bo sakana, which happens a lot in a hospital. For a lot in a hospital, in terms of moving the beds, could be, right, there are some posts that say if you're in a hospital and you're inpatient, you have the status of a chol hashem bo sakana. So you can move the bed and calling the nurse and all different halachas, but he talks about it right here. Because this is where the Mishnah Berurah talks about a chol hashem bo sakana doing malach shen esrich legufas. Okay, that's an important, Mishnah Bir Halacha. Feel free to look there in the, Bir Halacha. And it's based on Rishonim. Rishonim already say that malacha shen esrich legufas, like the Meiri right here, are more chamor than other isur de rabbanas. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, two dots. Gonna take a breath every once in a while. Ava nosein v'chulu. Tana rabbanan, getting back to Bishul. Nosein adam chamin l'toch atzonein, v'lo atzonein l'toch achamin, divrei beishamai. Beishamai says you're allowed to pour hot water into cold water, but not cold water into hot water. Why? Rashi here quotes a Gemara in Meseches Psachim without quoting it by name, but there is a major issue in Meseches Psachim, what's called Tata Agvar or Ila Agvar. When we pour item A into item B, which do we say overpowers in the mixing process? The item that's being poured or the item that's being poured into? It's a machlokas there. Tata Agvar or Ila Agvar. So Rashi quotes that Beishamai holds Tata Agvar. And therefore, you could pour hot into cold, because that will memela get cooled, but not cold into hot. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, no. Bein chamin l'toch atzonein, bein atzonein l'toch achamin, mutter. Either way, it is mutter, we assume. Why is it mutter? Maybe because it's klisheni. We'll get into this more, Bezer, on Amud Beis, but it's mutter in either direction. You're not cooking anything in a kli rishon. And most here, it's what's called the Irui Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni. So, Beisul holds mutter there. Bamedra Mamura Bakos. This is only Bakos, which means a Kli Sheni. Bakos. Aval. Right, Rashi here quotes, two days. Number one, it's a Kli Sheni. Number two, you don't want it so hot. So, Mistama, you're not gonna leave it in a boiling hot state. So, Bamedra Mamura Bakos. Aval Ba'ambati. But in an Ambati, a boiling hot bathtub, which might have the status of a kli rishon, chamin l'toch atzonim v'lotzonim l'toch achamin. Right, you can't pour it into hot water of a kli rishon, because that's going to be cooking only into cold, meaning if the kli rishon is already cool, so then it's mutter. Reb Shimon ben Manasseh Oser, he answers even that. We'll have to see what he's talking about. Amar Rachman Halacha Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. Halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. We'll have to see exactly what his shita is. Savar Reb Yosef Lameimar, Seifel Hariu Kambati. Reb Yosef thought that a Seifel, a bowl where you wash in, that has the status of ambati. Amalei Abaya Tni Reb Chiya, Seifel Einu Kambati. No, a Seifel is a klisheni. Right? If you have a bowl which the water was poured into, that is not like an ambati, a bathtub. Semicolon. Ulumai desolaka daita meikara. The Seifel Hariu Kambati. One second, go back to the original stage. When I thought that a Seifel was like an ambati. That I thought maybe, you know, boiling hot klishenis have the status of klirishons. V'yamar Rav Nachman Alokha Gershim and Manasseh. And we paskin that everything's usher. Right, hot into cold into hot. So Ela b'Shabbos Ruchitza b'Chamin Leka. What? So if you say that all Seifels, which are klishenis, have the status of ambatis, which have the status of kli rishons, meaning boiling hot klishenis have the status of kli rishons, and we paskin that way, Rav Shimon Manasseh. So could you ever wash in anything on Shabbos? Forget, we already said there's a gzeira against your whole body. But what about your hands and your face? Right, there's no way you could do that either, because there's no hot water. So Rashi says, because after all, on Shabbos you're going to have to dilute and cool off some hot water to use. So how would you ever do that in order to be able to create hot water for you to rinse on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, no, we misunderstood. Mi savas Reb Shimon aseifa koi. Who said that this last son of Reb Shimon is going on the seifa that he's so machmir? Areisha koi. He's commenting on the Reisha. Ubeis Hillel Matirin. Ben Chamo Tochsoni Ben Sonon Tochachamin. Reb Shit, Rebbe Beis Hillel is Matir in either direction. And on that, Reb Shimon Ben Nasi Oser Tzoni Tochachamin. He only ushers in one direction. There's nobody who ushers across the board in a Klisheni. So therefore, that's what is going on. Period. Says the Gemara Lim, Reb Shimon Ben Nasi Ekdamar Kabe Shamai. But that was Beishamai Shita. That Tata Gvar, that you can't go into hot water. No, what Reb Shimon Nasi would hold is that there was never a machlokas about this. Right? Everybody agreed that only hot into cold and not cold into hot. Let's finish up and then we'll go into the Tosfos. Amar Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, Chazina Leila Rava, Dilo Kapid Amana. I saw Rava that he was not Makpid Amana. What does that mean, Mana? Rashi says here in the Rishonim say it means Klisheni. It wasn't Makpid about Bishul and Klisheni as we have seen, we saw on Dav Mem, Midatani Rabbi Chia, as Rabbi Chia learned, Nosin Adam Kiton Shomayim Lotoch Shefa Shomayim. You see, he put a cold bottle of water into a hot bowl of water. Ben Chama Tosoni, Ben Sonotoch Chaman. Either way, so you see, Klisheni is not worried about. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Huna Ravashi, Tzoma Shani Hasem Demifsa Kli. One second. That doesn't prove that you're allowed to pour something into a Klisheni. That's a water bottle that you're putting in. So there's the bottle that's mafsik. So that's not a raya, that a klisheni is not worried about klisheni. So amalei, no, ma'ara itmar. No, I learned that braisa is not putting the bottle in, but pouring in. Ma'ara itmar. Ma'ara adam kito shamayim l'toch sefa shamayim, bein chayim l'toch sonein, bein sonein l'toch chamin. Period. Okay, an important issue to bring up here, and that is, what this is already counted as Amud Beis. On the top of Amud Beis, if you turn over for a minute, this is I think we referred to this a couple of days ago, there's a three-way Machlokas Rishonim. Major Machlokas Rishonim. What is the status of Irui? It's on Amud Beis because there's a diak from the coming up Mishnah, but it also relates to what we just learned. Irui, if I pour from a Kli Rishon, and I pour directly onto an item, we discussed this in the Daf Be'i and Shir. What status does that have? What status does that have? It's out of the Kli Rishon, but it has not hit the Kli Sheni yet. Let's say, for example, I put a tea bag, which let's assume is Kali Bishul. It cooks very easily. I put that under the urn, and I open up the faucet of the urn. So it's going directly from the Kli Rishon onto the tea bag. So it's going to hit the tea bag before it gets into the Kli Sheni. So that's Irui Kli Rishon. What's the status of Irui Kli Rishon? So Tosfos quotes three opinions. Tosfos quotes the Rashbam on the first skinny lines, that's called Klisheni. Once it gets out of the airspace of Kli Rishon, that's called Klisheni. Lakula. And therefore there's no difference for the Rashbam if I hit directly the teabag or I put it in afterwards. No difference. The Re ki Kli Rishon. The Re Paskins is like a Kli Rishon. Lachumra. Meaning, until it hits the Klisheni, it's not a Klisheni. And that fits in very nicely to the Tosfos we saw 2 days ago. That the whole definition of Klisheni is defunos makaros. It's the walls that start cooling. So if you're going to hit the item, if it's Irui, it's going to hit the item before it gets to the walls of the Klisheni, then it's not going to work. We don't pass like either opinion. What's the third opinion? That is on the last two skinny lines. Elavade lomavashel elav kidei klipa. It cooks the outer layer. The outer layer, that's what it cooks. Meaning it does cook, but only the outer layer. It doesn't cook the whole item that it's being poured onto. So for Shabbos, if there's an outer layer that's going to be cooked, that's all still Bishul Daraisa. Right? You can't cook an outer layer either. But let's say there is no outer layer. The example I gave on Monday night was, let's say somebody has to warm up a baby bottle. You have cold milk, you're going to warm up a baby bottle. So what do? Are you allowed to put that baby bottle under a boiling hot urn and put the faucet on, irrecleation onto that? So the post can say that's mutter. Why? Because what's cooking? The hard plastic outside. That's the outer layer. That's not cooking. No, not cooking hard plastic. So that would be a case of Irui Kli Rishon where there's no problem with cooking the outer layer. But either way, that's the three of Machlokas. We paskin like the middle opinion. That's the Ramah paskins in Yoredeya. We paskin the middle opinion. But that is all related to Irui onto solids. There is an outer layer. What Tosfos here discusses on Amud Aleph, Membeis Amud Aleph, is what happens about Irui onto liquids. What about Irui? Let's say, am I pouring boiling hot water onto liquids? This is the issue of the second cup of tea, right? Let's say there's a little water left in my cup from the first cup of tea, and I'm going to get another cup of tea. So am I allowed to put that leftover water right under the urn and do Irui onto it? Do the same rules apply? So if you think about it, Tosfos says, Lechora, and this is what the Ron says right here also, a little more expanded. the issue of an outer layer is only shayach by a solid where there is an outer layer. By liquid, it gets mixed in right away. There is no surface that it hits. So you should be more makel. And that's what the Ron says right here. Right, by iri kli rishon onto liquid, doesn't cook at all. There is no mavashal gede klipa because there is no klipa. That's what the Ron says. But Tosfos here has a chumrah. First he quotes Tosfos, Tosfos says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the first white line. Second white line, ein mavashal machamen amuat and kal fisha misarvin besonin amarubin, umizbatel chamimusan. Tosfos has a quote. I think the Ron, though, quotes the Chumrah, and that is, what happens, that's true, so there's no Mavashal Kadei Klipa when it comes to liquids, but what happens if the whole mixture is going to end up a Yatso Ledesbo? Do you still have the Kula? Of Iri Kli Rishon doesn't apply to liquids, so that already is a discussion of the Rishonim. The Ron here is Machmir, if it's, I'm not going to look it up again to save time, but some of the Rishonim are Machmir in terms of if it's all going to end up as a mixture of Yatso Ledesbo, then it could be even Iri Kli Rishon onto liquids, one has to be Machmir. Either way, that's a very important discussion. Tosfos right here on Amud Aleph, and the big Tosfos over here on Amud Beis, that's where he quotes all three days. Okay, let's go. Next Mishnah. If I have a pot that's burning hot, that I took off the fire, it's a Kli Rishon that was removed from the fire, look at the bottom line in Rashi. Kli Rishon kol zman sheroseach mevashel. As long as the Kli Rishon is boiling, it's hot, it's still cooking. Daraisa. So lo yitinu tocho tavlin. I'm not allowed to put spices that were not cooked yet in the soup, even though it's off the fire. Aval nosinu l'tocha ka'ara. But I could put it into a ka'ara, which is a klisheni. O tocha tamchui. Or again, into a different type of klisheni, into another pot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lakolu no saying, you can do whatever you want. Chutz midavar sheish bo chometz v'tzir, except for something that has vinegar or fish brine, because that cooks quickly. So what is Rabbi Yehuda referring to? You can do whatever you want. Iboy lahu, Rabbi Yehuda aresha kai, ulakula. Is he going on the resha? That he's saying even into a kli rishon off the fire, you're allowed to put items? O dilma asefa koyo lachomer, or is he going on the seifa, where the Tanakama allows you to do any klisheni, and he limits that? So Tashma, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, l'kol ilfesin u nosein, l'cho hakateros roschos hu nosein, to all pots, you could put chutz bidavar, sheish b'chometz v'tzir, except for something that's chometz v'tzir, meaning what that version, Rabbi Yehuda, is l'kula. Wow. Right when the Kli Rishon is taken off the fire, you could put items into it. It doesn't cook. That is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which we do not paskin like, except for something that has chumus v'sir, because then it cooks even there. So Rabbi Yosef Lameimar Melech Hariyu Katavlin. Rabbi Yosef thought that salt is like spices, and you got to be nervous about salt. That in a kli rishon it will cook. If I put salt into a kli rishon, it cooks, and a kli sheni doesn't. Amalei Abaya, no. Tzvi Rabbi Chiya Melech Ena Katavlin. No, salt is not like other spices. Tzvi kli sheni nami b'sheila. No, salt cooks even in a kli sheni. You got to be extra worried about salt. That's on the one extreme. Upligat Rav Nachman, and that's against Rav Nachman, who holds the opposite. Tamar Rav Nachman, tzricha milcha bishula kibisra datura. Salt, you gotta cook salt as much as you have to cook a piece of meat. Good piece of ox flesh. Kibisra datura. Meaning, you gotta cook it for a very long time. Ox flesh is not gonna get cooked in a klisheni. Right? So says Rav Nachman is just the opposite for salt. Ika da Amri, a different version of the Gemara. Rav Yosef thought that Melech was like Tavla, debeklisheni rishon b'sheila b'klisheni lo b'sheila. Amalei Abaya tni Rabbi Chiya Melech ina katavlin debekli rishon nami lo b'sheila. Different Rabbi Chiya, right? Salt is not like Tavlin because even in the kli rishon it does not get cooked. The Hainu Damar of Nachman, meaning it's not a machlokas, but it's a proof. Tzricha milcha bishula kibisra de tura. So what do we say about salt? What do we say about salt? The Chashukei Chemin here discusses putting salt on your chalent, assuming chalent is a davar gush, as we discussed yesterday, right? A solid item, and assuming it's a kli rishon. Could one put salt on their chalent? That's his discussion here. And Haimutul says, Malach Tavlin Latafshil or Lachalent Peshavas. And he goes through the different days in our Gemara, and he says the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Lishna Basra, that salt does not cook so easily. The Ramah is Machra like the Lishna Kama. Ukayom Bar Tseinu Akdosha Harbei Me'amelach Hanimka Bishvakim Lo Avar Talach Zikuku Bishol. V'lachin Amach Bishalino V'klisheni Tavo Lav Bracha. Meaning, you got to be careful which type of salt you're using, says the Chashukei Chemin. Is it pasteurized and if it's already cooked, it's any bishel achar bishel. So you just got to know which salt. He says some of the salts, he says you have to be careful about. Again, other poskim say that most of the salt that we have is pre-cooked, and therefore there's no issue. And again, if you're not putting it into a kli rishon, you're putting it onto the shalant on your plate, there's a couple of chumers. Number one, is it still boiling hot? Number two, even if it's not, if it is boiling hot, the Ramaz Meiko, if you're remembered by Dover Gush. The Marshal, quoted in the Shach, is Machmir. But the Ramaz Meiko by Dover Gush anyway, it's like a klisheni. And klisheni is salt kali bishel. It's salt kali bishel. So again, there's a couple of chumers there. But again, if it's pre-cooked, if it's pasteurized, whatever it is, so then there's no issue anyway. Okay. Rabosai, we have finished Bishul, and now we go on to, not finish, we never finished Bishul, but for now, and now we move on to issues of Muksa. Ein, says the Mishnah, Ein nosdin kli takas haner l'kabi bos ha-shemen. One is not allowed to put a kli under a candle to catch the oil that is dripping out. Why is that? Rashi has two opinions here. Number one is, Ein kli nital b'shabbos el etzarach davar hanital. You're only allowed to move a kli on Shabbos letzorich muksa. We don't pass in this way, but this is the din of Rabbi Yitzchak. Let's say I want to protect a muksa item. I'm not allowed to move a kli l'shem the muksa item. That's day number one in Rashi. That's the din of Rabbi Yitzchak, and that's the first day. So here I'm moving the bowl in order to catch the oil. So that's number one. Rashi's second day, and no. Because, as the Gemara is going to say, I'm being mevatel kli mehechano. Right now I have a usable bowl, and I put it under the oil, so now I'm going to make it a basis l'davar haser. It's going to be muksa for the rest of Shabbos. There's an iser, derabanan, to make something muksa on Shabbos. That is Rashi. Why? Rashi is a beautiful lashon here, we'll have to talk about it more. Tahavi kikoveya lo makom, umechabro betit, vidomi lo malacha. It's like you are cementing in this kli, because you can't use it anymore. And it's like a malacha. Like what malacha? Bone, soser, tosas on the top of the next amud. Says, Rashi sounds like it's soser, but he thinks it's bone. Right? All different. You're doing something with making your kli muksa. The Ritva here says you're being mema'it and kavod Shabbos. Right? You have one less bowl to use on Shabbos. Right? You have one less, element of kavod Shabbos. So either way, that's what it says here. You know how to make something muksa. Something can become muksa on Shabbos by itself. Right, nolad, right, there's a beitz shenol debiyantif, right, something can become muksa on Shabbos, but you can't actively make it muksa on Shabbos. That is what is a problem. Something can't become unmuksa on Shabbos. Right, that's the principle we're gonna have. Migu diskatsoi ben ashmashos iskatsoi l'kul yoma. If something is muksa when Shabbos started, it's muksa for the whole Shabbos. So, in that direction, it doesn't lose its status. But the other way, it's true. It can become muksa on Shabbos. That's number one. Vim nasnu mi bod yom. But if you put it there from before Shabbos, mutter, then it's mutter. Ve'ein neosin mi menub, and you're not allowed to get any benefit from that oil, from that item, ufishenim in a muchan, because it's not in a muchan. Good. Amr Rav Chizda, says Rav Chizda, aval bisha amri nosin kli takatana golos takaba beitzasa, even though we said that you're not allowed to put a kli under a chicken to catch the egg, because that's like, well, we're not sure why that is. Aval kofel a kli shloti shaver. But once you have an egg that was laid, you could cover it up with a bowl so nobody steps on it, and it doesn't break. That is the halacha. So, Amar Abba, my time with Rav Chisda. Why does Rav Chisda make this chilek? You're not allowed to catch the egg, but you could cover the egg. So, we're going to have 2 days. Today we're going to do number one, but tomorrow we're going to have number two. So, Amar Abba, number one, my time with Rav Chisda. Why? What's the difference between catching it and covering it? Kasavar, tarnagolas, asuya lahatul beitzasa, ba'ashpa. A chicken always lays eggs, is asuya. It's normal for it to lay eggs in a flat place, in a garbage place area. And usually the chicken doesn't lay eggs. She doesn't lay eggs in a slanted, sloped area. And therefore, don't worry about putting the egg on the bowl underneath. And therefore, they only allowed you to do a hatsala mitsuya, a kamin hatsala, meaning the egg is laid, so put the cover on. Vatsala she'ina mitsuya lo itiru. They didn't allow you to do a hatsala she'ina mitsuya if it's not kamin. What's the whole issue? You're holding a bowl. So Rashi says, this opinion is holding like Rabbi Yitzchak, like we said before. You're not allowed to generally move anything for the tzorech of the davar hamuksa. But in a case where you want to protect you want to save the egg, and it's very kamin, so they allowed you to do that. That is all number one. Does the cover become muksa? Good question. Pasha's not. It's not under the item. Pasha's not. Pasha does not become muktzah. That is all number one. So before, just one other issue before we call it for today, and that is the Yerushalmi. I don't get to quote too many Yerushalmis. The Yerushalmi right here in Masechah Shabbos, in the fourth parak, he says when you put the cover on, you have to make sure you're not touching the muktzah. When you put the bowl on. Ubilvad shelo yei kli nogeya begufo shel beitza. You have to make sure you're not touching it. Why? Why? So the Karban Eidah here in the Rishalmi has two days. This is in Dalid Beis. Either number one, Kiva Danachas Kli Eino Elo Litzarev Dover Hamuksa, Lokach Asru Afilu Nigiya. First day in the Karban Eidah, even though we pask, even if you want to pask in that you can move something, you have a heter to move something Litzarev Dover Hamuksa, you're not allowed to touch the Muksa. Number two, because you probably move it if you touch it, because an egg is round. Right? That's the second day. But today, the first day of the Karban Eidah is not worried about moving it. 2 days in the Karban Eidah, when you're moving, doing something on Shabbos, Litzorech Dover HaMuksa, generally we assume that Muksa is only also to move, not to touch. But are you allowed to touch Muksa, Litzorech Dover HaMuksa? That's 2 days in the Karban Eidah, and the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir. The Shulchan Aruch is Machmir. Generally we assume that Muksa is only, again, only Muksa to move. But the Shulchan Aruch, and so there are a couple of simon about Muksa in the Shulchan Aruch, but in Simon Shin Yud, Siv Vav, says the Shulchan Aruch, Kol Dover, Sha'asu L'taltalo, Asu L'itin Daktav Kli Kedei Sh'ipo L'tocho, Bebei Sha'osar Kli B'tiltol, V'nisav Avata Kli Meichano, Avamud Alech Vazal Kli, Ubilvad Shalo Yigabo. Ubilvad Shalo Yigabo, as long as you don't touch it. Says that's the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Yerushalmi. And the Mishnah Berurah explains, V'yavagav de mutter lika b'muksa, even though you could normally touch muksa. Hacha abeitza koi, ukadesh lo yinan nebo, avodosh yinan miskanayi digi yishay. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes it as the second day, but I saw some other achronim assume that the Shulchan Aruch, right, if you read it, I'm reading it now, Shulchan Aruch is not clear. If you read the Shulchan Aruch, you can interpret it like the second day of the Karban Eidah. But I remember there was some postkim that interpreted the Shulchan Aruch as the first day, meaning if you're moving something with sarach davar amuksa, then there's an issue to touch it even without moving it. Okay, but it's not. I should take it back. It's not 100% clear. At least in this Shulchan Aruch, maybe there are others that the other poskim are aware of. Okay, we'll stop here. Beis Hashem, we will continue. Beis Hashem on tomorrow. Beis Hashem, just scheduling note: Friday morning there will not be a daf. Friday morning, Beis Hashem, I'm going to be away, so Friday morning will be a daf, Beis Hashem. We'll have one tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and then we'll continue on Sunday. I'm hoping, I didn't check again yet, but Friday Shabbos is up from last time, but I will make sure.